Now, don't go away, because next on CBS Radio's Comedy Time are those two zany characters of many characters, Bob and Ray.
And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS... Well, my word. Radio network, I was going to say.
Sorry about that, Ray. I
got a cold, have you?
I think I'm coming down with a cold. I usually try to cough and blow my nose before the show goes on the air, but...
Wally, I understand that you have a very interesting tape interview that we're going to put on a little later on the show.
Yes, I've got it all set up over there.
You're out with the... Well, we'll just say he's been chatting with Matthew E. Pulsifer, and you know what that means, folks.
Oh, I guess you do, certainly, and we'll hear all about it when we play that tape later.
Now then, Bob, are any of Gracie's relatives that you'd like to talk about?
No, I think I've heard enough about them. I thought maybe tonight you could tell us about some of your relatives.
Well,
anyone you'd like to talk about particularly?
Well, Jack the Gander Goulding.
Jack the Gander Goulding.
He owned the Hudson River and all the boats over there. A real odd character.
Tried to kick everybody off.
That's right. He tried to maintain that he owned that river and all the rights to it.
Uh-huh.
And he was quite a character.
Where is he now, Grace? Right.
Jack the Gander, right now, I think he's up in northern New York State. I think he owns Lake George.
Oh, fine.
No. Yeah.
I think we better get over to our employment service desk because it looks like an anxious fellow there waiting to be helped.
All right.
Yes, we're here to help you, the ordinary employee, with our Bob and Ray employment problems on the employment service of the air. And it's our hope we can dip into our extensive files and come up with a better tomorrow for you people seated on the hardwood bench. Would the first job seeker please step up?
Hello, Elliot.
Could I have your name and occupation, sir, please?
I'm Scott Johnson, barnstormer and crop duster. You got a job for me?
Well, not so fast, Johnson. Do you own your own plane?
Yeah, I own a Spad. What do you have in mind?
Well, if my memory serves me correctly, there's a kennel 3 miles north of Jamestown, New York, and the owner of the kennel, Mr. Ogden, would like to have the whole place dusted with flea powder.
Well, I've mass powdered before, Elliot. When does he want this job done?
Well, it's not that easy now. Mr. Ogden would like to interview you first and see if you're the right man for the job, Johnson.
Well, I've had plenty of spraying experience, so...
Well, you still have to see Mr. Ogden before the job is secured, and I'd like to give you a few interview tips.
All right, we'll shoot, Elliot.
Well, when you're in his office, don't lean on his desk while you're talking to him. They hate that.
Who?
Any prospective employer.
Okay. See, I'll write that down in my logbook. And I'll remember that when I see this guy Ogden.
And call him Mr. Ogden, because familiarity breeds contempt. You're not going there to be a pal. You're after a job.
Yeah.
So be as friendly as you can, but at the same time, be as remote as possible. You think you can do that, Johnson?
Well, I think I can handle it, Elliot. Yeah, I'll talk to him from behind the closed door of his office.
Well, that might not be a bad idea, but I think you should enter Mr. Ogden's office.
Well, okay, I'll go in and then turn my back to him with chat that way.
Good. Now, you'll have to get longer puttees. The ones you're wearing only go halfway up your legs, and prospective employers are always concerned about neatness.
Well, now, these are the only puttees I own, and if I roll them all the way up to my knees, there'll be spaces showing, you know. I have some ball players' knee-length stockings I could wear.
Don't you have any boots, Johnson?
I did have, but my Batman, Corporal Rollins, stole them several years ago.
Maybe you'd be better off just to wear oxfords and socks with clocks on them. That'll look neat, huh?
Will do then, Elliot. Okay.
And, how did your swagger stick get bent, Johnson? Mr. Ogden will notice that right off.
Well, it got bent for many years of slapping it against my thigh. You can see here where my right thigh is worn away a little.
Yeah. Well, I hope Mr. Ogden won't notice that. We can do something about it, though. When you enter Mr. Ogden's office, kind of walk sideways, kind of, you know.
Wait a minute. You mean sidle in, left side featured, that it, Elliot?
That's it.
Yeah.
Feature your left side.
Right.
And that's about it, Johnson. After you sign several employment agency papers here, you can be on your way to Jamestown.
And how much am I going to get for the job, you know, Elliot?
Well, it's piecework. We're going to charge by the dog. If you get the job, see that your aim is good, Johnson. The rest of you folks on the hardwood bench go home. We'll be back after we've had a chance to study our extensive Bob and Ray employment files.
And the Columbia Phonograph dealer is proud nowadays to present new sound of pleasure. Stereo One by Columbia, number one in the wonderful world of sound. I wonder, looking out here at the audience, if any of you have any questions about stereo that Bob and Ray might answer for you. Any questions at all about stereo? What it is, or how it's done, how the stereo records are made, or anything like that? All right.
You think they know everything about it, or are they just bashful?
Here's so. Well, to continue, only Columbia's leadership and engineering know-how could bring so many exclusive features and so many handsome models, too.
And there's a Columbia phonograph for every room, every budget, and every listening need. For space problems, Columbia has stowaway speaker model. And Columbia has twin stereo models, or true stereo sound in one unit.
I think we have a question.
All right.
What do you mean by Columbia has a stowaway speaker model? What do you mean?
Yes, when you're not using it, it's stored right in the main part of the unit.
Paula told me these cost about $80,000.
Oh, no. Portables start as low as $24.95, and you can get elegant consoles as low as $129.95. Now, those are real good prices for the best in stereo. Stereo One by Columbia. We answered your...
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Now then, Wally, you have that tape?
Yeah.
All right, why don't you give it to Mr. Alonzo? Wake him up. Wake up, Mr. Alonzo.
Joe Alonzo.
Good boy, all right.
You want to play the tape, Al?
We're going to play the Wally Ballou tape, the one that he made when he visited the laboratory of Matthew E. Pulsiver. Okay, let it roll.
Speaking from the laboratory of Dr. Matthew E. Pulsiver, and about set for our first look at Dr. Pulsiver's invention, the Fact Datatron. Doctor, I wonder if you could give us a little background material on the machine that we're going to see demonstrated presently here.
Yes, well, first of all, I want to welcome you here to the laboratory, Mr. Ballou. This is a computer machine that I have been working on for 12 years.
That was after you gave up brain surgery, was it?
Oh, yes, many years after that. Now, what I do here is I can feed certain information and data to this machine.
Uh-huh.
And then the machine more or less digests this information that I feed it, and it gives you your answer within certain limitations.
Well, I mean, would it answer any question I wanted to ask, or does it have that information within it?
No, that's one of the limitations. The questions have to be easy, something you could figure out in your own head.
One of the bugs you're trying to get out of it, I understand.
Yes, that's right.
So then, when the digested information is completed, it's returned on cards, I presume.
It comes out through... Well, do you want to step over here? I'll show you the machine, Mr. Ballou. The Fact Datatron is electrically powered. And
you see, it's plugged into the wall over there.
And right down here is where the answer will come out. In here is where I feed... Uh-huh. The information, the data I was speaking of.
Well, do you do that before or after the question is asked?
You do it before.
Before.
And then
you want to feed some information into it, or then I'll ask a question.
All right, well, let me open the door and I'll feed it the information.
Mr. Pulsiver is shoveling mounds of information into the machine. And I hear an electric current going on. Something is working in there.
Well, it's beginning to digest all that information, those two or three shovelfuls that I just put in there.
Uh-huh. That should be enough to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Simple question.
That's working in good shape. All right.
Now, here's the question I'd like to ask the machine. Is it all ready?
I think so, yes. The lights are on, so you ask it any question.
Right. If a person was born November 1st, 1955, say, how old would he be on November 1st, 1965? A obviously be 10 years old.
Well, well, let's see what the machine says.
Well, it's 55 to 65. What's that mean?
There's
a card coming out of the side of the machine.
It said, 11? Question mark.
Well, the answer is 10, I'm sure of that.
Well, I'm going to put some more information in there anyway.
Maybe it didn't have enough facts to go on.
Yeah. I'll put plenty of information in this time, and then you can ask it a question. That's very good. That's easy for it, too.
It seemed like an easy question.
Yes, that's a nice, easy question. All right, now.
You want me to change it?
Yes. Kind of.
All right. What do you
Wait a second. Let us digest this information, please. All right, now.
Is it ready to go?
Yes, it's ready to go.
All right, here's a simple one. How old am I this year?
Now, let's see what the machine says. It says 41, question mark?
No.
Well, there's another card coming out. 28?
No.
35?
No. It's getting warmer, though.
41.
No, it guessed that before.
It said that once before.
Yes, it likes that.
59.
No.
10.
No. That was the answer to the first question. Is it extrapolating now?
Mr. Malou, you can stay here a little longer with me if you want. I'm going to go upstairs.
All right, this is Radio's Wally Malou.
I'm disappointed with it.
Returning you to our New York studios from the laboratory of Matthew E. Paulson.
Well, that must have been some experience, Wally.
Yes, it was. Did you enjoy the tape?
Very much so.
I had a chance to edit it before we played it, I thought.
He sounds like a very unusual person, this Matthew Pulsifer.
Yes, he does.
Uh-huh. All right.
Aching my seat now, if you don't...
All right, Wally, fine. Now then, we'd like to remind everybody, of course, that Dave, that is Smelly Dave, the great missing whale, his picture is still available. All you have to do is to write to us, Bob and Ray, CBS, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, and we'll send one right out to you. Here comes the guy.
These are Bob and Ray.
Remember, we have a few
you're
left.
Quite lucky on this particular picture because they're really broadcasting today. Usually the studio is empty, and I really point out that those are their microphones.
This is
those are their sound tables, and those are their
very
sound
small
effects,
tour. Three
effects
people
over there.
All three.
Will you all move in a little bit closer so you can all hear me?
Showing them how radio
now,
works.
Over there is the client's booth. Again, as always, that's empty. There's where they hang up their coat and hat, the Bob and Ray coat and hat rack. And out in the corridor in just a moment, we'll be coming to the mail processing room. But first, I'd like to ask all of you, are there any questions? All right, then, let's move right along through here.
Hey, sir, just a second. I wonder, could I probably come over here and...
Yes, Mr. Goldie?
I've heard you go through here several times, and I don't know, they just never seem to have any questions. Can you look?
They never do when I come through here.
Why is that?
I don't know. I've been bringing tours through here for 13 years now, and they've always had questions before.
Well, do you suppose that you cower them at the start of the tour? I mean, do you discourage questions by curt answers?
I ask them to speak up whenever they wish, whenever they want to ask something. Today, I've skipped a few of the less interesting parts of the radio network so that we can get through quicker. It's so hot, I want to...
That's
my last tour of the day. There's only three on it. I figure I don't need to give them the whole thing.
Now, the way those three people are cowering there in the corner, it frightens me a little. Are you sure you haven't spoken to them?
No, I've been curt. I've been curt with them.
Yeah. But, curt and quick.
I'm just going to take them down to CBS Plaza and then let them go.
Oh, all right, okay.
Come on, this way.
There they go. And I think we'd better follow them, too, down to the plaza.
Yes, all right.
Inasmuch as the time has escaped on us here. And with the notes of the music in the background indicating it's time for Bob and Ray to silently fold their tent and to steal away into the night.
We'll feed the great Bob and Ray bird and leave our studio until tomorrow.
And until then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
This is the CBS Radio Network.